Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. Today, I get to welcome back Susan Barancini-Moe. She's been on the show before. She is fabulous. I love her, and we're going to have a lot of fun together today. I have to warn you, though, we both have cough drops in our mouths, so we may be a little raspy, but we're going to soldier on through it. So Susan has been a teacher for more than 20 years, and a public speaker all of her life. There we go. She has shared the stage with business and marketing giants like Michael E. Gerber, my friend Larry Wingate, my other friend Bob Berg, David Merman Scott, Chris Brogan, and Scott Stratton. And for the past 15 years as a business consultant and founder of Business in Blue Jeans, Susan has led business owners to create mega success on their own terms and in their own unique style. And I love that about what she does. So Susan has also written a new book called Business in Blue Jeans, How to Have a Successful Business on Your Own Terms, in Your Own Style, and it's due out in spring 2013. We're not going to talk about the book a whole lot today, but she is going to share with us the ins and the outs of the publishing industry. We all have a book or two in us, right? I know I do. It's still in there. It hasn't come out yet, but it's going to, I promise. So good morning, Susan. Thank you for being here this morning, and welcome back.
Hi, Denise. Thanks for having me back. I'm so glad to be here.
I love talking with you. I have the best fun, and honestly, I always have these giant light bulb moments whenever I get off the phone with you. So, no pressure. Just while
no pressure
here.
What's funny is today I'm coming off of two live trainings online, and so my voice is going in and out, and hopefully I'll be in the whole time. My voice.
We're both in the same position. My voice is just shot. I've been coughing for several days, and I don't know. I don't feel bad. My throat is just raw for some reason. But listen, let's get started. Tell me about your book and your publishing, a little bit about your book, because I know it's not out yet. But I really would love to hear from you how you're getting published, because that, if I had to guess, I think that's the thing that stops most people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and it's funny because there are so many people who dream of writing a book and so many people who, like you said, have a book in them. And I was actually, I kind of figured that was the truth when I started doing my research, and I figured that a lot of people wanted to write a book. I didn't realize it was 81% of all people. And out of those people, not that many people go for a book, actually start to write a book or start to approach publishers about a book. And not only is it scary because it's a big deal, I mean, you know, if you write a book and it gets printed by a publisher, it's out there in the world and people can read it. There's something tangibly different about writing a book that is different from, like, I write a blog all the time. I have two blogs actually, and I write for, you know, different sites across the web. And so thousands and thousands of people read what I write all the time. And yet, there is something tangibly different about a book that thousands and thousands of people will read. And so I don't know what that thing is, if it's just that, you know, books are these tangible printed things that are really long-term representations of us that we can't go back and edit because they're there, they're out there in the world or what, but there is something very different. And people tend to look at you differently when you're an author. And that impresses people. And it should, because it's a lot of hard work. But my book is something that's been in the works for a long time. I've been a writer my whole life, and writing is in every cell of my being. It's just, it's who I am. And so I always knew I was going to write a book. I just didn't know what it was going to be about. And it turns out I'm really bad at fiction. And I don't know, honestly, if that's because I haven't really tried to improve my fiction writing, but I don't, at this point, that's not on the table for me because
right.
I'm so bad at it. It always comes out sounding like a terrible, trashy romance novel. No matter, even if it's not a romance novel, it sounds bad. So,
it would sell. Trust me. It would sell.
I don't know. But even if it would sell, I would have to write it under some pen name that was so secret that no one would ever know it was me because I'd be so horribly embarrassed by the quality.
Right.
So, but what I am really good at writing about is nonfiction, and I'm really good at writing about business. So I wanted to write a book that would be very approachable for anyone who either wanted to start a business but didn't know where to begin, or someone who was trying to grow a business and maybe wasn't sure why it wasn't growing. And so I approached my book from that framework. And I'm aware I could have written a book just for startup, and I'm aware I could have written a book just for growth. But because what I do in my everyday, day-to-day consulting business is work with both kinds of businesses, and I enjoy that. And because some of the work is the same, I thought it made sense for me to do my book in the same way that I do my business. So Business in Blue Jeans is really that kind of book. And it's a book that I worked very hard on and I'm very proud of. And I know for sure that despite the fear that I had the day I signed the book deal, I know it's a book that I'll be proud to stand behind. But the getting the book deal,
yeah,
is a totally different animal.
Well, I've read the advanced copy that you so kindly sent me, and I have to tell you, I read it in one sitting. And for me to tear myself away from my computer, now you know that's impressive because I printed it out, all of those pages, and I printed it out, and I got one of those big giant clips because my stapler could not handle the paper, and I took it outside because that's the only way I felt like I could really just sit with it. Because let me back up and tell you what I did. I started reading it, you know, in the digital format, and I read the bubblegum story, and I went, and I hit print because I knew I needed to actually sit down with it in my hands, and I needed to sit down with it and treat it like a real book. And when I read a book, I read it from start to finish. I don't meander off. I don't put the book down. I'm in the book. And I had to do that with yours. I couldn't read it in its digital form. It just, I needed to be away. So I went outside with my big old blanket and a giant mug of coffee, and I read that book from, you know, page to page. It's an excellent, excellent book, and I'm not saying that because we're friends. It is a
well, thank you.
Trust me, I don't blow smoke. It's not something I ever learned how to do. So,
well, you know, that
it is
an excellent that is
book.
Scary. Here's something also I did not know. I will say that getting the book deal, sort of the last few years of my life have been sort of leading up to this point, right? And so, you know, getting the book deal and finding out how all that worked and, you know, working with publishers and negotiating contracts and, you know, building platforms and all of those things are things I really did not know about until I decided it was time for me to write my book. And so I spent all this time doing research, but the things that I could never have known were sort of the internal things that happen when you sign a book deal. So I would never have known that just, like, I don't get writer's block. I simply don't get it, ever. I can knock out 20,000 words in a day easy. But when I signed on the dotted line and I was like, okay, now I have a book deal, I was lucky if I could get 2,000 words a day. It was so difficult to write because I was questioning everything. But the other thing I could never have known was how absolutely terrifying it is to send your work, your book, out for endorsements and those blurbs for the back of the book. Because suddenly, after, you know, building these relationships, you know, I mean, you know, because, you know, you mentioned some of the names earlier, building relationships with best-selling authors and people that I admire and respect and my friends. And I mean, I sent my book out to, you know, Larry Winget and David Meerman Scott and Chris Brogan and, you know, John Morgan and you and Ben. And you know, so I sent it to a good cross-section of people who were, you know, these really well-known best-selling authors, people who were my peers and friends and people that I work with. I sent it out to some clients. I've never known fear like sending my book out to someone who is already a multiple best-selling author. Mm-hmm. There is no fear like that. And yeah, there is no better moment than when you get the first response from someone saying, this is great.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. The enormous beef.
You know, I guess I can understand that. I mean, when you're blogging and you're writing things, I mean, you're just kind of putting it out there. Mm-hmm. And you kind of know from responses that you get to your post and from looking at your analytics that, you know, you have an audience, you're reaching that audience. But it's very different when you have to put it into book form. Mm-hmm. And then just say, okay, here's my guts. Do you mind not ripping them apart?
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing.
You're right. It's very
different. Asking, you're inviting judgment, basically.
Yes.
You're basically sending your work out to people that you like, people you respect, people who you know, and you're saying, I'd like your actual feedback. I'd like you to send me something, you know, if you like this book, I'd like you to write an endorsement of it. And that is a really big thing. I mean, I'm very careful with who I, you know, whose things and work and books that I endorse, because I'm careful with my brand and it matters to me. You know, I don't want to just say yes to everything, because then what is the value of my brand, right? So
right.
I think likewise, people like Larry Winget and David Maron Scott are very careful with those things, and so it's enormously gratifying but also terrifying to send that your work out to someone and ask them, invite that kind of judgment, because you know those guys aren't going to pull their punches. You know, if
no.
they don't like your work, they are going to tell you.
Well, Larry, for sure, and Michael Gerber, for sure.
Right.
I think he would be very kind, but still, you know.
Mm-hmm,
yeah, I know,
mm-hmm.
I know. So what happened? How did you get over your writer's block? I mean, because I know, let me see what the timeline was. Didn't you start on this book right after your Guinness World Record? I mean, isn't that about the time seemed to me you were doing two things simultaneously.
Yeah.
That were nuts. Yeah, I remember thinking, she's either nuts or she's brilliant, or, you know, we're going to have to, you know, go visit her in a padded cell, because I don't see how she's going to do
this. Or all of the above, I don't know. I don't know.
I was prepared to send cookies, I really was.
No, I'm not. No. I mean, honestly, so the timeline is basically this. Sometime last year, I was at an event, and a publisher sought me out and said, hey, you know, we think, you know, we want to talk to you. And so part of that started back then. The conversation kind of took place over a long period of time. And that's who would eventually become my publisher. But in the meantime, while I was in that conversation, a very large publishing house contacted me and out of the blue and asked if I would write a proposal for them. And these are things that very rarely happen. Like, this is very uncommon for anything like this to happen, simply because the publishers are not really – big publishing houses are not in the business of just kind of randomly finding authors anymore. They're not looking for the next great literary talent anymore. They're looking for people they think can sell books. Mm-hmm. And so they're looking for people who have a following and who have a platform already. So, you know, I was kind of in negotiations at the same, you know, sort of simultaneously with two different publishing houses. And it's okay for me to talk about this because my existing publisher does know this. And because the story ends well in their favor. And so, but what I ultimately decided was that for me, there was a big difference between working with a very large publishing house where I would be just another author. And working with a small publishing house that was very excited about me and very invested in my success, so much so that they're really pulling out all the stops for me. They've given me a lot of control in and participation in the process, and so I've been able to, you know, sort of make a lot of those big decisions myself, have a lot of input into, like, my book cover and, you know, how that looked and you know, there's a lot that I get to be involved in, and they're also doing a lot of nice things for me, setting up book signings, book reviews, doing a lot of things that a lot of larger publishers aren't going to do. So mm-hmm. And the book deal, I don't actually remember precisely when that happened, when I actually signed, but there was a point where I just decided I was going to end negotiations with the big publishing house and make the decision to go with a smaller company, because I just felt I would be better served doing that. And that has been borne out. That has been true. I have no doubt that that I made the right choice. I know a lot of my peers have done well with this larger publishing company. They're a very nice company. They've done a lot of good things for people. They're good. But I know I made the right decision, and I'm very excited about it. But in terms of the timeline, I mean, I had been doing a lot of writing for months before I actually signed the deal. And I had been writing a lot, and because of that, it served me really well because I had a ton of content already written that really just needed to be edited and sort of updated, and you know I needed to make sure that you know that was exactly what I wanted to say. So on the days when I got writer's block, I could bring that content in and use that in you know the right context. But my book really didn't take me very long. You know I tend to do things quickly. I planned that mm-hmm. Guinness event in 55 days. I think I wrote my book in about that amount of time. I don't advise anyone to do any of that. But and I don't
Not
think very
you
many...
You have a great support system behind you.
Yeah, that's true. You have to have a great support system. My husband has been wonderful and very supportive. He hasn't really... he has not asked much of me, let me say that. I haven't had to make dinner... while now, but but I think I need to start cooking again. But anyway, so he's definitely a reason why I can do those things. But the writing of the book did not take nearly as long as it would most people, but primarily because I'd had months and months of writing content before that.
Mm-hmm. So when I'm fascinated, I'm listening to this story and I've got so many questions. So when did you actually just say, okay, I'm doing this? I mean, and clearly it was before you signed with the publish house, but there had to have been something in your head that said, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to do it.
Well, I never had a thought that I wouldn't go for it and I wasn't going to do it.
So you didn't have that fight with yourself then. You just went for it. The time was right and you just did it.
I don't usually have those fights with myself.
People do.
I know, but that's yeah. And the thing is, I used to have fights like that with myself, but I don't now because I've done the work. And I think that's important to do. But I guess when I was approached last year, I thought, well, you know, I've been planning to do it. I mean, I wrote a book, you know, several years ago and self-published it. You can't find it now, by the way, but so don't know you should even bother looking. But because I decided I wasn't happy with it, and I took it off the market. I just said this isn't the book I want it to represent me. But the book that I've written now is the book I wanted to represent me, and I think I kind of got to a place where I knew that now was the right time for my platform because I had built it to the point where I was ready. And I knew that within the time frame I had, by the time my book came out, my platform would be really, really ready. And I think that's important because, you know, one of the most important things of any book deal is that you have a following which will buy your books, that you right. have people who know who you are and that you can effectively sell books. Because if you get a traditional book deal with a traditional publisher and you don't sell books, you will not get another book deal. So you're taking a risk in a sense because you are saying, I can sell books if you get a book deal. But that's mm-hmm. why you always want to be honest in your proposal about, you know, and have a marketing plan, but be honest about where you are with your platform. Because if you get a book deal, big deal, you got a book deal. Did you sell books? Can you sell books? Because if you can't, you're in trouble. So, you know, I think that's really important. And even if you're self-publishing, I think, you know, it's still important to jump through those hoops because, you know, you do still need to market a book even if you're self-publishing. So if you can't...
Yeah, listen, I know many authors who have self-published, and they've got boxes and boxes of those things. You know, and of course, most authors are also speakers in my world, and they'll take them and, you know, sell, use them for back-of-the-room sales. But still, I mean, it has to be, to me, if I were to walk out of my garage and see boxes of books just sitting there, that would hurt me.
Mm-hmm. It would.
It really would. Because that's not where they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be in people's hands.
Well, right. And that's the thing. I mean, that's why I think it is important to be aware of where you are in your process. And if you're not in a place where you have that following and you have that platform and you can't build an effective marketing campaign, then you're not ready. And that's painful for people to hear. It's not fun for anyone to hear that you may not be ready. And I've had conversations. I consulted with Seth Godin's agent before I did any pursuing of any book. And, you know, sort of just spend some time emailing back and forth with her, talking to her on the phone, and just saying, you know, do you think I'm ready? Do you think my platform is ready? Here are my numbers. Here's where I am. Here's where I think I'll be a year from now. Do you think that I am in a place where I should be signing a book contract? Because I didn't want to be premature with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important. You don't want to jump in just because you're excited to do it. And that's the other thing, is it's never about you. It's never about you as the writer. It's about you giving your reader an experience, and it's about what your reader needs. And that's the most important thing about your job as a writer, is you're in the business of taking your reader on a ride, whether it's a ride through a fantasy world that you're creating through a fiction or through a novel, or whether it's a ride of learning and gathering knowledge in a nonfiction book, maybe about business or marketing. I mean, the whole point is you want to teach them something new, and you've got to teach them something that they want to know.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned agents. That if I had to pick a spot that would scare me the most, it's not writing the book. It's finding the agent. You know, I don't know. I'm stuttering just thinking about it. That scares me. And I don't stutter much. I mean, that part, for some reason, I'm very taken aback by that process. Can you walk us through the process that you went through?
Yeah, well, I know many authors who have agents, and I know many who don't. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time because I've spent so much time building those relationships, and I know those folks. I spent a lot of time asking them their thoughts about agents versus not having agents, what the benefits were, and all of that. And finding an agent is tricky because, you know, even though there are sites like Literary Marketplace where you can go and you can find an agent, you can find dozens of agents. The question is, how do you find a good agent? Because there are agents, you know, I've been contacted by shady agents and smarmy people who pretend that they're agents, and that is one thing that actually can get your book proposal rejected. If you're working with an agent who doesn't know what he or she is doing, then you can end up getting rejected pretty quickly, and you can get a bad reputation in the industry, and people will go, oh, but remember that author? She works with that, you know, that agent. You don't want to get involved in that. So it can be kind of a minefield, and one of the challenges, I think, is that authors get excited because maybe a publisher contacts them and wants to publish their book, only it's not a real publisher. It's someone who wants you to pay them to publish your book, which a real publishing company never does. Or an agent contacts them and they want money up front. That's not how agents work. Real agents get paid a percentage of whatever deal they happen to negotiate for you. So basically, you do have to be able to convince an agent that you can sell books and that you can make money, because they're investing, just like the publisher is investing up front in costs for like editors and graphic designers and, you know, promotional people and layout people and pagination people, and if you're having an index, indexers, and all these people are working in basically advance with the belief that you're going to be able to sell books that will reimburse them for what they paid for you and for all these people, and then some. So an agent is no different. An agent is going to put in a lot of work to negotiate a deal for you up front with the hopes that you'll sell books or get an advance, and that that will pay for their time, and they'll get a percentage before you even see your money sometimes. So it's tricky because, you know, you don't really know who's out there and who you can trust, and there are a lot of unscrupulous people. But I happened to get lucky that someone introduced me to Seth Godin's agent, and that's, you know, that's no small potatoes. And so I had that introduction, and I knew that was someone I could trust. I didn't really approach her with the, you know, would you represent me, so much as, could I just ask you some questions? Now, this is a really busy person. I was very fortunate that she did answer my questions, I think. But I think the introduction helped.
No doubt.
And we discussed if she was interested in representing me down the road. But I just basically felt like I was enough educated about the process at that point that I knew what I needed to do. And she did help me. She advised me with, you know, how to negotiate my contract and what things I needed to look for in the contract. Agents
That's
are great.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, she was very nice, very generous. I think that I have a much better deal as a result. But here's the thing. Agents are good for if you're a first-time author and you need help negotiating the process and negotiating your contracts. They're also great if you know, you want to approach a publishing house that only accepts submissions from agents they know. Yeah, and then also, and that's largely true more in fiction than nonfiction, but it's also important to know that there are other kinds of book rights than just the printed book. So there's movie rights, there's audiobook rights, there's foreign book rights, which happen completely differently from the way that a book deal in America happens. So you get your book deal, and then there are secondary rights. And so the way that those things get negotiated are different, and marketing those things are different. So this now you're getting into like a whole big other like can of worms, right? And
right.
So an agent can really help you to negotiate those things. On the other hand, if you have a big platform and you're going to get, you know, big deals, well, not on the other hand, this is actually in addition. If you have an agent that that can help you to negotiate contracts between, you know, big publishing houses, like let's say you're, I don't know, let's say that you're a Real Housewife of whatever, and you have a lot of publicity around you, and you want to publish a book. An agent would be a great person to help you negotiate a deal between two competing publishing houses, for example. And, you know, they can also get you speaking engagements and things like that. So agents can be great. But if you're a first-time author and you're just starting out and you don't really, you know, you're not probably not going to have an advance, first of all, you're probably not going to get a book advance, and you're probably not going to have a huge book deal, then you may not really need an agent, at least not for your first book. So, mm-hmm. So you know, it's sort of, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other. There are benefits and there are also, you know, detriments. And I don't know that I think a first-time author necessarily needs an agent, but can be protected from one if you, you know, aren't prepared to do all the homework to find out how everything works.
Right. I feel
it's complicated.
Now I can write my book because that agent thing scared me to death. It's like, no. I didn't want to have to deal with any of it. Say what?
Well, what's scary about it?
You know, I don't know. And if I had to take a wild guess, I think it's because of the way they're represented in the media.
Hmm.
You know, and I'm just guessing, you know, in popular fiction, I guess, they come across as being, you know, kind of hard and difficult to get along with. And unfortunately, my impression of agents has always been that they're kind of dishonest.
Hmm.
And I'm sure that's just from watching bad movies. I don't have any practical experience at all. But, you know, somewhere in the back of my mind is the ick factor. Like, oh, God, no, I don't want to. So for some reason, I need to overcome that, obviously. But I mean, I will write a book. I'm actually in the process of writing a book now. But like you, it's just me writing. I haven't gone any further yet with it. And I will when I've got it a little bit further along, I'll start figuring out what to do with it. But for right now, I'm just writing for me.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And in fact, I think it's important to do that before you actually write your book anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets you comfortable with yourself as a writer. I mean,
right.
there's business of writing, and then there's the craft of writing. And those are really two separate animals. In terms of the craft of writing, it's about giving yourself permission. And it's about, you know, improving your writing skill. And the best way to improve your writing skill is by writing. And I think also by reading. But the more you write, the more comfortable you become with your writer's voice. And the more adept the more fluid your writing becomes. So I think writing is a great thing to do. Whether you're, you know, writing for a purpose or you're writing for yourself, it doesn't really matter. That's about the craft of writing. And in terms of the business of writing, you know, there's a point at which, you know, it makes sense to start, you know, building the platform. So they're simultaneous and things, but they're different animals.
I know you've mentioned building the platform a couple of times. Can you tell our audience pretty much what that entails, because I can hear I can see eyebrows raising, like, what is she talking about? What does she mean, build a platform? So can you go ahead and give some pointers there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a complicated thing, building a platform. It's a really big subject. But building a platform basically just means building a following. So it's basically, before you go out and try to sell a book, you really need to have people who know who you are and who are probably willing to buy your book. So if you don't have a following, you don't have a platform. It's the same thing. Platform just means following. Mm-hmm. I like to advise people who want to someday write a book, I like to advise that they start a really good blog. Blogs are super useful for getting used to writing, getting comfortable with writing, experimenting with different writing styles, and getting your feet underneath you in terms of your voice. But I also think that a blog is good for getting in the practice of marketing something, because blogging and guest blogging and syndication of your blog and getting your blog out there in the world is something that requires marketing. And so because marketing is such a big part of writing your book, marketing your blog is not entirely dissimilar. Certainly marketing a book requires a marketing campaign, but marketing a blog does necessitate you getting used to being both a writer and a marketer. And so I think having a blog is a great exercise, and it's also a great start. And if you have an opt-in form where people can either subscribe to your blog, or they can subscribe to an email newsletter where you send them notices when you update your blog or you send them articles by email, whatever it is you do, you can at least track your following. So when it comes time to write a proposal, you can say, I've been writing a blog for the last 3 years, and I have X number of followers and subscribers, and those are people that are invested and are likely to buy my book. Or you can say, I have guest blogged for this number of other blogs, and they have this many followers, and they have commented on my blog, and I know that I'm going to have a lot of people. And I'm, you know, the whole point mm-hmm. is to be able to prove to a publisher and or agent that you can sell books. And so that's really what the platform's all about. So I would say the best place to start is by marketing your blog and getting a whole lot of followers, because that's really, at the end of the day, what people are going to want. And that means, you know, learning how to use social media effectively. Mm-hmm. Engagements certainly are a great platform builder. There's kind of a big, it's a big subject, and there are a lot of ways to do it, but it's not any different from marketing your business and building a following for your business. So a lot of these things are kind of in the same category.
Right. And it makes sense that they would be, because social media these days is pretty much drives everything. You know, 10 years ago,
your target market is in social media. You know, if your target market is, you know, people who don't use social media, then that's not going to help you.
True enough, but most everybody does. I know. I mean, most everybody, though, now is hooked into at least Facebook or, you know, business to business. You're on LinkedIn, and, you know, Twitter, of course, is growing all the time. But, you know, those are three very good places to start. I mean, I have built some fantastic relationships on Facebook, as you well know. I mean, you and I met on Facebook through your Ben Cope. You know, it's just, those are some real good places to start. And then when you're blogging, of course, put your blog posts out to your, we'll call them the holy three, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. And I like, you know, Google Plus as well. It's an excellent place to put information. But, you know, once you start that and you get your little editorial calendar going, you should be able to build a following if you're doing it properly. And I think we've had this talk before. You don't go put your billboard in somebody else's lawn without their permission. You don't go, hey, I've got this product, or I've got this book, or I've got this, you know, free widget, and I'm going to paste it all over your page. Don't do that.
Right.
But, you know, if you're engaging properly and respectfully in social media, it's a quick and very effective way to build that platform.
It is, and it's interesting. I mean, I think, you know, there's a time and place for promotion and a way to do it that doesn't annoy people, doesn't followers, doesn't get on people's nerves. I think that's useful, and certainly there are some inexpensive ways to advertise that are useful. But I think relationship building is absolutely critical at every level, whether you're building relationships with potential readers, potential customers, you know, influencers, you know, members of the press. It doesn't matter. The whole point of everything that you do should be to build those relationships, because in the long run, that's what sells books. That's what builds your business. That's kind of the generator for everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, what do you, we were talking about book proposals a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. What don't you include? What do you include and what don't you include? That is a document that I think can be very daunting as well.
Yeah, and it's a little bit tricky also because, like, all of these things are complicated and have multiple facets to them. But,
right.
But you know, there's kind of a skeleton for a book proposal that you really you want. And it's going to be different. Just it's sort of like, you know how they say if you're going to apply for – it's been years since I've applied for a job, so I don't really know this
mm-hmm.
works. But back when I was applying for jobs many, 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 many years ago, they talked about how you could have one resume and you would send it out, and that's, you know, you just send it out to everyone, and then at some point you would just get a job. Well, that's not how you do it anymore. Because now you basically have to craft your resume to the job. Well, a proposal's kind of like that in some ways. You don't all just have one proposal necessarily.
Oh, okay.
So different publishing houses require different things and want to see different things. So one publishing house has kind of a standard proposal format that they like to see. And another, for one, you know, publishing house, we know that one of the things they really, really like to see and that will be likely to encourage an approval from them is if you have a ton of speaking engagements listed that you have done and that you're going to do
mm-hmm.
in your. So there are certain things that we know different publishers like to see. Now, and some people, some publishers can be comfortable with a 20-page proposal. Others like to see 160-page proposals. So it's really variable by publisher, but you definitely want to have your biography. Not a huge biography, but a few paragraphs about you. You want to have a section where you talk about your target market, your reader identification and description. Who are you writing this book for? You want a summary of your book. You want a table of contents, which is kind of like an outline with a description of each chapter, like one paragraph or two paragraphs
mm-hmm.
chapter. You want a sample chapter so they can see your writing. And you want an analysis of other books on the market, like books that that are like your, you know, like in your genre, but things, you know, talk about what's missing and what yours brings to the table. And then you have to have a marketing plan. And it shouldn't just be like a brief, here's what I would do, but a real comprehensive marketing plan that talks about specific things that you're going to do. It's like a real plan. And so depending on how, you know, specific you get with those each of those things, you know, and there are probably a few other things that you can include, but depending on how specific you get with each of those categories, your proposal can be 20 pages or it can be 150 pages. But those
oh,
are
goodness.
The
wow. See, I just walked back over to the scary side. Like, oh my goodness.
Well, and that's like a book, it's a lot of work, but the great thing about
yeah.
doing a really good proposal is that it sets you up. So it sets you up for success because once you do a really good proposal, now you not only have a skeleton for your book, but you also have a marketing plan for your book.
Mm-hmm.
All of it's easy from now on because you've already planned it out.
Right. You've
now
done
you're
the hard
just implementing.
Work already. Yeah, exactly. So, and once you have this too, you can use it as a blueprint for, you know, going forth in the future, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay, I need to know, Susan, why does it take so long? I heard Bob Berg talking about this. why does it take so long to get from your desk to Barnes & Noble's bookshelf? I mean, why do books seem to take a year or better to get published?
And
I mean,
that's if you're lucky.
It's ready to go. Oh, I know. And that's what he was saying. I mean, he's got a book coming out next year. It's going to be late next year. And I think it's been in the works for quite a long time.
Yeah. Well, and of course, you know, because Bob works with a co-author, he has an even lengthier process, I think, because,
oh,
you know.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I wonder if that, I don't know for sure that that makes it longer, but when you've got two authors involved now, two people, like, because here's what happens. You write your book. Now, when you're done writing your book, multiple things can happen at one time. So you send it out to the publisher, and they start doing either content editing first or copy editing. Content editing is basically like verifying the content of your book, right? So my book did not go through content editing. They said, you know, look, we know that you're an expert. We're not really concerned about the veracity of your book. We know that what you've written is going to be true. We are not concerned about that. We're just going straight into copy editing. But if they are going to edit for content, then they're going to have to send that. That's one editing process. Then they send it for copy editing, which is like grammar, punctuation, clarity of writing, that sort of thing. That's when we get back to that craft of writing thing. So that can take, you know, 2 to 4 weeks. Just each process takes 2 to 4 weeks. Meanwhile, they're doing, you know, they're designing the cover, and you're going back and forth on that. And they're also starting to get your book into, well, they can't get the book into the system until they have the cover, but there's a distribution system kind of thing that they have to put your book in, and there's marketing collateral to be designed. And so there are all of these steps in the process, and each step, and after they've edited your book, they bring it back to you so you can look at it and see if there's anything that, you know, if they've changed something that changes the meaning of what you wanted to say, or they've changed your voice of your writing or whatever. And then after you get that done, then you send it back to the publisher, and then they do pagination, and then they do and layout, and then they do indexing, if you're going to have an index. And indexing takes forever. That's like a total job. Like, that's an actual job someone has to find keywords in your book that people might search for and then find how many places in the book it appears. Like, that takes forever.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so see, if you look at the books on your bookshelf and you see books that have indexes, those books took longer to make because the index takes ages. So every part of this process can take anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks just to complete. So, you know, some of these things can happen simultaneously, and some of these things can happen sort of, you know, linearly, but they every single thing draws out the process. And they may send your book after you've read it, they may send it back to the editor, and then it may come back to you again. And so it goes back and forth a few times. Now, then once you're done, and once it's been in the distribution center, and, you know, maybe they've been selling it to booksellers, and they've been promoting it to the booksellers and all that junk, then they have a limited print run. And then that gets sent out to, like, reviewers and influencers and stuff, and it's part of your marketing campaign. And the last thing you want is for your book to be rushed. Not because, you know, like, you know, maybe you have a really good editor who's super fast, but the thing is, you don't want your book to come out sooner than you're ready for it to come out. You should have at least 6 months to market a book. And if you don't have that time frame, your book is not going to sell as well as it could. So, you know, like I think my marketing plan starts in January or even December, and I mean, we're looking at, like, the limited print run comes out in March. So then the real book itself with all of the printing comes out in May. So printing takes time, you know, converting the book to an e-book takes time. All of these things take, like, forever. Like, it's just, you know, and you know, you want it to go fast.
You mean it's not magic?
But it's not magic. And each person, if they're doing their job really well, they're going to take their time and they're not going to rush it. So it does take, there are so many people involved in the process. I really never knew. And even with self-publishing, I mean, if you're just doing a PDF, you're doing an ebook, and you're putting it, you know, on your website, that can take a week. But unless you're really sending it for quality editing, then you can do it in a month. But honestly, that shouldn't take very long. Yeah, but if you're printing a real book, it takes time. And you know, when you think about, like, actually printing on paper and binding books, and it's ridiculous. It's a lot of effort.
Now, Susan, is your book going to be hardback, softcover, ebook? How are you going to come out with this?
It's coming out in hardcover.
Nice.
It's a real book. It's coming out in hardcover in May. I'm assuming, you know, at some point thereafter it'll be available in paperback, but it'll probably be a while before that. But it'll also be available in, you know, the standard Kindle, Nook, iPad, that sort of thing.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, it'll be available in all the major formats, yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm one of those people, I buy the book, and then I buy the Kindle. I want it both. You know, I want it both ways. I want to be able, and my reason for that is I love books. I love to feel them. I like to mark in them, which I know I shouldn't, but, you know, sometimes you just have to. I have little stickies all over them. I love the way a book feels and smells, and I can dive into it. With my Kindle, however, I can do some searches. I can look for words. I can, you know, there's a lot of different things that you can do. I can jump around in it. I can read in the tub. Well, I don't want to take my expensive books into the tub. So I always, and then, this is how addicted I am to books. If I find one that I love, like a lot of Larry Winget's books, I have, you know, I have in hardback. I've got it, you know, if he has Kindle editions, I do those. If he's got an audio, I go get that too. You know, I want
something about hearing Larry read his own words, right?
It has to be Larry. It can't be anybody else's voice because I'm not going down that road. It has to be Larry. But yeah, I mean, there's just something about hearing him because I can listen in the car. I can listen when I'm walking. Now, business books, I don't do fiction. If I read any kind of fiction at all, it's a murder mystery because I'm just a mean girl that way. But you know, or I read history. But, you know, bodice rippers don't do anything for me, and I really don't want to hear those in Audible.
No, gross. I
love all the forms. So
I can't imagine listening to fiction audio.
Yeah.
I would never, ever. But I will listen. You know, when I used to do a lot of driving, I would listen to audiobooks, and I'll listen to an audiobook if I'm, you know, on the treadmill or something, though not while I'm on the treadmill desk, totally different creatures.
Right.
Different purposes. But yeah, I mean, I'm a huge bibliophile and addicted to books. I have an absurd number of. I'm in my office right now. I have two huge bookshelves plus a smaller one, and they're completely jam packed. And you know, I do love books. I am sadly I am a Nook girl. I have Barnes and Noble's Nook. I don't have a Nook reader. I just have the software.
Mm-hmm.
And I read on my Nook Reader on my iPad, and I have really invested in that platform, and I'm really scared that they're going to tank eventually, and I'm not going to be able to use Nook anymore. So I'm really nervous about that. But but I have Kindle. I just don't really use it much. But, yeah, but books are amazing. And, you know, honestly, that's another reason that I didn't want to self-publish, because I have yet to come across a self-published book of the you know, genre in which I write. I've seen some beautiful photography books that have been self-published, but I have not yet seen a self-published book in the business and marketing genre that I can't spot from a mile away.
Right.
So they don't have the right paper, they don't have the right fonts, they never have the right margins, and I wanted to make sure that when I finally decided I was ready to write a book, and it was the time, that I wanted my book, darn it, to look like all the other bestsellers out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the decision I made. So I'm just, as a book geek, I was really conscientious about paper choice. You know, silly things like that really matter.
It's really not. Listen, I have two Kindles. I mean, I've got something like 3,000 books in my garage. I've got bookcases that literally run along one wall. And they're stuffed with books. I mean, children's books, adults' books. You know, my old Encyclopedia Britannica from when I was in school. You know, then I've got bookshelves in my bedroom. I've got bookshelves in my office. I have bookshelves in my closet, my office closet. They're everywhere, but I have two Kindles. And I love those Kindles, but there's something about a book, and you're right, the feel and the margins and the little doodles that sometimes they put between paragraphs. But here's the thing about a Kindle book. I'm on this list of free Kindle books, and I download several a day because I get this list, and some of them are great.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are so awful. You know, and I don't mean the writing. I mean the fact that it was so poorly formatted that you have to keep skipping to get rid of the title, or, you know, the editing was so poor. I can't get them off my Kindle quickly enough. Yeah, and they may be a great book, but I can't get past all of these, the little things. You know, there's no pages. I don't know where I'm at in the book. It, you know, the guy's name keeps popping up at the very top of each page and running into the first sentence of each page. It's like, really? Did anybody test this?
Yeah, and that's another thing I think that comes from, you know, one of the benefits of working with a traditional publisher is that they've done this thousands of times before.
Right.
And
so they know how to make it perfect.
Yeah, and you know, you and I had talked before we even started the show. We were talking about my publishing house, and my publishing house is relatively new to the game in terms of this particular genre. They have a parenting company that they came out of that has been in business for, I don't know, like 40 years publishing books. Mm. So they decided to branch out into this genre and have been doing this for a few years now. And so it's kind of a newer publishing imprint, but it is not run by people who don't know what they're doing. So that's
right.
So that's really why I chose them, because I knew that they were going to have the experience that I needed, but they were smaller, and I just felt like, you know how I am. I like the startup concept. I like being a part of something growing, and I loved the idea of being a part of this company, and their, you know, I saw the potential, and I mm-hmm. wanted them growing, and I think they felt the same about me, so it's a really good partnership.
Right. Yeah, I know who they are, you know, and I've interviewed two other of their authors and got more in the works. I mean, it's a great company. You're right.
Yeah, they hit really hard with in our life. You know, Leo and I have this thing that we call the Buena Gente factor, and it's because you know Leo's Uruguayan, he speaks Spanish, and he's teaching me Spanish, and Buena Gente is just they're just good people, and mm-hmm. so. They hit really close to home for me on that particular factor, and so that was they're just good people, and I think they've got a really good sense of the future of the industry, and are going to be really smart about that. So I'm excited to be publishing with them, and I think they're gonna do good things.
Oh, I know they will. I mean, I think right along with you, I think this is going to be fabulous, Susan. I have a quick question though. You mentioned your marketing plan. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't start until January? Can I ask you what this is my question. Is your marketing plan separate from their marketing plan? I mean, because you know how to market online. I mean, you're very, very good at what you do. So are you kind of rolling in what you're already doing into their marketing plan? How are they different, I guess, is my question.
Well, okay, so whether you're self-publishing or you're publishing with a traditional publisher or you're doing an e-book, you've got to market your book. And that's
right.
The reality that we're in today is that it doesn't matter. And this is something I've discovered as more and more authors have come to me and asked me for help. I've discovered that many, many authors today who are getting involved in the book process don't know how it works. And the way it works is you have to market your book. And people, I think that they're going to get a book deal and now people are going to know their name and know who they are. And it's exactly the opposite. People know who you are, and that's how you get a book deal. So, I mean, I in my case, I don't know that my publisher has an official marketing plan for my book that extends beyond the marketing plan that I've created.
Okay.
I know
that
they have
my question.
Sorry?
That was kind of my question.
Yeah.
You said January, but I was wondering, I guess, well, you're not kind of marketing now, but it's too soon, isn't it?
It is too soon. I don't want people to get excited about my book yet. Sorry, guys, mm-hmm. listening to the show. I did a webinar yesterday and today, and I've shared my cover with those people. But outside of the people who have been into the webinar and who have been on my team and the people who are at my publishing company, nobody else has seen the cover yet even. So, you know, this is so early. And to get people talking about the book now and getting excited about the book this early would be a big mistake because, you know, that's why I said when we talked about doing the show, I said I don't want to talk too much about the content mm-hmm. of my book or the title of my book. I don't want people to get excited about my book yet because that excitement will wane or people will be sick of talking about it by January. But you know, parts of my marketing plan start in December and then we extend for the full 6 months because I wanted to take, you know, I have that time. I might as well use it. But I think you know, the publishing house will do some things, but they are very much working in tandem with what I have planned, and they are kind of letting me take the lead, and I think that's a smart way to do it because
mm-hmm.
you know your audience.
Right.
And they can help with a lot of things, like my publishing house is sending my book out for review to certain members of the press that they're connected with, and I think they're setting up book signings, although we're still kind of working out the details of how that works, but I think it's incredibly important for a publishing house to work in tandem with the author and to let the author guide the process as long as the author knows what they're doing and knows how to market a book.
Right.
If you don't, you should either be working with someone who knows how to market books or, you know, you should learn. But I think, you know, within the context of my marketing plan, there are certain things that I'm doing and certain things that they're doing. But they're not – I think my publishing house does more to market their authors than most do. Most big publishing houses will not market you unless you have already shown yourself to be a very substantially like a substantial best-selling author. And mm-hmm. the other thing also is that, you know, the your contract negotiation comes into play as well when you're thinking about your marketing plan. Because, for example, when you negotiate your marketing, your contract with your publisher, one of the things you negotiate is, are they going to give you some free books to send out to influencers? And yeah. are they going to give you enough books to send to influencers? And that's important. So, you know, they'll send out more than they're giving me, but there are a lot mm-hmm. that I'm going to be sending out personally to, you know, influencers to kind of be, you know, getting them talking about it. So there are a lot All of right. grassroots things that, you know, you want to do, and how much of that is you and how much of it is your publisher sometimes just depends on the publisher.
Well, and that makes sense. Now, is there a second book in the works? Because I know you. So what's mm-hmm. the second book about?
Yeah. There's a second book, a third book. There's a long list of books.
I figured there was sequel one, sequel two, sequel three.
Yeah.
Or better yet, just a whole new, another direction.
I read in a book a year or so ago, I read in a book that if you are not prepared to spend 3 years marketing your book, then you shouldn't probably be doing it. It's not just the first mm-hmm. year. You want your book to be out. Now, I don't know if I agree. 3 years, I don't know. Two years seems about right. I know a lot of authors who came out with a book a year ago, they are now starting to think about their second book. But so that means that, you know, they'll continue to market the book that's out, but then, you know, a year from now, they'll start marketing the new book. And I think that's pretty smart. But, yeah, definitely there's a lot of more books in the works.
No, I'm glad to hear that, because this book, I'm telling you, it's phenomenal, and it's written in your voice, which I love.
Oh, thank
you. I mean,
you.
It's clear
thank
to me when I'm reading it. It's like listening to you.
Thanks.
It's
I
very
hope,
much
I hope
in your own voice.
Both are interesting.
The bubblegum story, I'm telling you, y'all, buy the book, read the bubblegum story.
Tell them what the story is. They won't buy the book.
I'm not gonna give it away. It is so fun. I laughed. My dog looked at me like, "Mommy, are you okay?" So I was just rolling. But it's such a tale. I mean, it's just, you were an entrepreneur very, very early, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
yeah.
just, I mean, you've had that mindset all of your life, and you've carried that into this book. Listen, we are. Can you believe we're running out of time? Tell
That's
people
crazy.
Where they can find you.
Businessinbluejeans.com.
There you go. Now, you said you had a teleseminar yesterday. Are you going to be doing that again anytime soon?
I am. Actually, I'm going to be doing it a couple of times. It turned out to be a lot more people responded really well to it. It's basically, how do you become one of that, you know, elite 2% of authors who gets a book deal? Like, how do you get a book deal, and what do you need to know to get a book deal? And so I'm running it I'm going to be running it for a little while. Of course, if you're subscribed at businessinbluejeans.com, you'll get notified. But also keep an eye on trainingwithsusan.com. I post all my new trainings and webinars there. So if I'm doing a class, then that's the place to find it.
There you go. Well, Susan, I love your book. I genuinely love your book, and I can't wait to get my hands on the, you know, real copy that I can touch and put on my bookcase. Pull it out and read it. So I am breathlessly waiting that book. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. I know you're busy, and I know you've had a heck of a day. And I have to tell our audience, I had somebody that needed to reschedule. Hurricane Sandy is causing, you know, problems all over the world, pretty much, it seems like. And bless you, you jumped in at the very last minute, and I am so grateful for that. I'm really appreciative.
No. I'd like to help out a friend, and of course, you know, I knew you and I would have a fun chat, so I had a
We always do. Well, is there anything that I might have missed that you'd like to say about, you know, getting started with the book?
No, just, you know, don't be afraid to write. Just write and give yourself permission to do it, you know, and if you need help, you know, I am easily contacted. So if you have questions, just email me.
Great. Well, listen, everybody, this is Denise Griffiths and Susan Barancini-Moe. Thank you so much for being here with us today, and I hope that you will go visit Susan at her website, and then when her book comes out that you will grab that and read it. It is an excellent, excellent book. Thank you, everybody. The show will be available for download in about an hour, and we wish you a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week. Thank you, Susan.